Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my excellent co-host, we've got Lord Yushiro.
Some say, everyone.
And we've got R Sigma.
Hiya.
And we're here today to talk to you about Pokemon, but welcome to Puckle. Puckle, of course, stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. Unfortunately for the five people that do not like me, I am back and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Hear that, Sigma?
Yeah. Two of them are in this room right now.
We tried. we got it in for next week, but we couldn't get this week.
Yeah. Unfortunately, next week I am out again. Yeah, last week I had some personal stuff come up, so unfortunately I was out of the show. Next week I decided to take off, mostly because I have another work trip, and the work trip is not certain that I'll be back in time. I don't know, like it's one of those things where like I don't feel comfortable being like, yeah guys, I'll be there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I have to stay in Pacific time zone until about noon on the Friday before. We typically record on Sundays, for those of you who are unaware.
Sundays.
Yeah, not Sundays. Definitely. We used to do Sundays, and that was awful, especially with like a Monday release day.
I was going to say, wasn't that back when you were the only one editing too? Like,
yeah, it was.
That,
yeah.
That was your Sunday.
That was my Sunday. My Sunday used to be record the show for 2 hours and then edit the show for 5 to 6.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeesh.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's why I don't edit the whole show anymore. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. So, yeah, it's definitely like a whole thing. Yeah, but yeah, I have like I come back home like right now. I'm scheduled like somewhere around like 11 o'clock on Friday evening. One, which I would kind of just appreciate the extra time instead of recording Saturday morning to just kind of like recalibrate my body.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jet lag's a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I have a layover in flights that day because I did find a flight out at about 2 in the afternoon Pacific time, which is, you know, 5 Eastern. And that flight gets me into Chicago and I've got like a 40-minute layover. And I do not trust a 2 p.m. flight to be on time. I have flown enough that I just do not trust that.
You're probably not wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I know that most airlines build in buffers nowadays, but like I am a little concernicus that like that 40-minute layover will not exist. And I might just get stuck in Chicago.
Man, I wish we could use fly in real life. Be like those hawks in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
where
right.
They just grab you and just you're just
right.
Ragdolling all the way to where you need to go.
Right. Yeah, no, I would love that so that I don't have to catch planes or anything.
Oh, God.
We'll see. We'll
TSA. See
yeah, I know. Yeah, but after that, I'm pretty open for the remainder of the year, I think. I'll probably like take a vacation here or there. I think in August I'm going to go to Gen Con. I've finally been buying tickets for that because they opened up this week.
Nice. That's the one in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's in Indianapolis, so it's not a super long drive for us. And I mean, it's supposed to be. I mean, it's like crazy big.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I hear people talk about it all the time because I've been listening to like a History of Magic: The Gathering podcast by like the head designer for like 10 years now. And Gen Con was like a big thing for Magic back. Back when it started.
Yeah, no, Gen Con's just big for a lot of things. Like, mostly, like, we're super into Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, I know, it's big for that.
And so it's big for that tabletop gaming space as a whole. But like, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that. Other than that, I've been playing the trading card game still. You can't get me off that. I feel really bad because I've just joined the easy laddering that is known as Roaring Moon.
That is one of the three decks that I play, depending on what my daily quests are.
Roaring Moon is just like, I don't know. It's just like Helmet. It feels very Helmet. Like, it does one thing.
There are a lot of varieties. I recently picked up the Pokemon Catcher version.
Really?
It's very nice. It's like,
I've been playing some list that performed at a tournament once upon a time, and I really like it. It plays really well.
I was playing like the Iron Hands variant.
I did not play that. That's too much. That's clunky.
It was unnecessary. I think the Greninja variant was fine though. Like, where you're playing a few water energy and getting them onto your Greninja to just take out some Kumpei one day and be happy.
Yeah, I think,
but, you know.
I was actually really pleasantly surprised by the regional last week.
Oh, the finals, I was very happy to see.
Yeah, Golden Go made it to the finals, baby.
Golden Go versus Tien Pao, and somehow Golden Go lost, but okay.
Yeah, good for you, Golden Go. Good for you trying.
No one believed in you, buddy. Nobody believed.
I still don't believe. I don't, like, I mean, it's a nice surprise, because, like, there's no other Golden Go. Granted, I don't think anybody else is playing it in top cut.
I was gonna say, now it finally earns the price point that it has, because most cards just, fall to the bottom. Golden Go just kind of chilled at like the $3 to $4 range forever.
I know,
despite having no results. Like, I think Roaring Moon was cheaper.
Oh, I think it's one of those decks that people are just like, maybe after rotation it'll be fine.
I've heard that too. I've heard that it's like a contender post rotation. I believe that.
Yeah, post rotation is probably okay.
It doesn't lose that much, so yeah.
It is possible, in my opinion, for like a tier 2 or tier 3 deck to make day 2 and like perform well top cut. Like, it's possible.
I always enjoy seeing the Klop Electrode deck like do well at a late
night. Right.
Like, I mean, that's the other deck I play on the ladder.
I like watching the numbers for late night lately, and they've just like, they've definitely plummeted as of late.
We're later in the season. Rotation is
Rotation's on the way. But even then, before it's like dropped to, I think Live killed it, in all honesty. Like, when I was on PTCGO, you'd get like 400 players.
I mean, you had that for Live too, and then they moved nights, so that probably
didn't help. Yeah,
because Live was always updating on Tuesday, so you never knew what was going to happen for the tournament. Like, if you had to ban
that's
a card,
true.
Though Live hasn't been like that bad lately.
Yeah. I don't know. I've enjoyed that. I also, like, I don't know, I've got the itch now to just, like, go and play, like, competitive Pokemon, like, cartridge again. I'm like, should I go do that? Man, I don't know. Like, I do it on stream every once in a while, though we've been doing the egg lock lately, which I really like doing. I didn't do that this week either, man. Like, most of my normal, like, Puckle Pokemon stuff just didn't happen this week. I didn't do the stream. Man, before I was trying to be consistent with it, I would be like, yeah, meh. But now, like, I kind of miss it. I just like, man, I didn't get to play the egg lock.
Yeah, I climbed a Master Ball, like, really fast this month in both singles and doubles. I just don't have a team that I love for doubles.
The thing that's hooking me again, in all honesty, is everybody found the way to start being able to do, like, full 6v6 battles on card again. Because you can just set up the battles, which I definitely agree with. And I'm starting to think, like, oh, man, like, regular OU or even, like, draft league of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be also, I don't know, like, between the staff, I think it would just be really cool for us to have, like, a tournament that we record. Mm-hmm. I think that would just be really fun.
Man, I have to do something to figure out how to get back to competitive anything in Pokemon, because both of them just feel so overwhelming to try to get back in or try to get into.
TCG is worth waiting, like, a month.
Yeah, TCG rotations in the end of March or early
April.
Literally
a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
TCG, I'm completely disconnected. At least I'm somewhat connected to the video games because I still play them, but
Yeah.
I haven't played TCG in months.
I don't know. I feel like we should do something, because I've definitely been playing TCG still, which makes me feel good about myself to some extent. And like, I'm aware of competitive, and like, my competitive senses still exist. To the point where, like, we could play VGC online, and I can go ladder with the team and be like, okay, I have an idea of what's going to happen here, and I'll do all right.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm definitely not good at it like I used to be. Like, I remember the days.
It's all about practice. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the days when I was like really in tune, where like I could see 3 to 5 turns ahead.
The top 16 thatch back in.
Back in that day.
Good old top 16 thatch.
Top 16 thatch. Yeah.
Imagine how much money you would have made if it were like today.
Right?
Like, I assume you didn't get like almost anything for that. Now you
were. When I got top 16 that one time, this was, now it's like 6 years ago, like almost to the dot.
I thought it was like in 2019 or something.
No, it was 2018.
Okay.
I remember clearly because I was still, it was my last year in grad school and I'm like, I just want to go do this to do it. And I got to hang out with Bowen Viger and that was really fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, cause my, I went into that one being like, oh, I'm going to go 0-3 and just drop and just go have a good time. But I ended up doing really well. I beat like, who was it? Paul Chua, I think.
Nice.
I think I beat him.
I've sat next to him at a nationals before.
Yeah. I think I actually beat him. I didn't realize who it was when I played the game. And that, I remember that that set. I definitely got super lucky on that set. I think I got like a rock slide flinch and like a burn off a scald or something similar all in the same turn. And the only reason I won was because like the burn damage was like just enough to take something out.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, it was insane. That was a tough set. But oh man, I even like singles though. I remember like, cause we used to stream viewer battles all the time. I used to just like be really in tune with it.
Right.
I don't have that anymore. Like, I could probably see like a turn or two ahead sometimes nowadays. But yeah, I just can't.
And that's exactly the intimidating part of it that always kept me back. It's not you learning what your Pokemon does. That's the easy part. It's just knowing the meta,
knowing what the other things are going to do. Right.
Is prediction, and that's the part I suck at. I just, you know.
My problem in the current meta is Deoxys speed. I never know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a very specific problem to have.
You sure? Maybe we should get together. You and I just want to hang out more. Maybe this is a good way for us to hang out more. We should do a series where...
We definitely do. I'm moving now this month, next month, so my schedule's going to be more lighter. Yeah. I'll have a recording room, so back I can start recording at 6 and 7 a.m. again.
Oh, man.
Well, it's not going to be specifically a recording room, but it is apart where I won't bother my wife.
I think it'd be a lot of fun for us to do a series where like we try to teach you how to play competitive again, whether it be TCG or video game, you know?
Yeah.
We walk
and it's funny because I've been trying to get into a TCG. I've been avoiding Pokemon because of how overwhelming it is. Right. But I'm like, man, maybe Lorcana, that's the new Disney game
that
came
out.
Yeah. Those cards looks really pretty. I'm like, oh, on the art alone, they get me. Can't find them anywhere.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
So I thought, oh, maybe Dragon Ball. I know there's a Dragon Ball TCG that, it's really good. It's now rebooting into a new one.
I was going to say, I haven't heard much about Dragon Ball after like, Digimon and One Piece was like super
successful.
It's
rebooting. Now it's going to be Fusion something.
Okay.
And it's going to relaunch now. I think it's in March, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Or maybe it already rebooted. And then the other one that I was waiting on is Star Wars Unlimited. It's a new Star Wars trading card game that is going to come out this year. Doesn't have a date yet, unfortunately, which is why like, ugh. There's a lot of TCGs, interesting TCGs that are coming out. But either you can't find them or they haven't been released yet. So,
Now, I mean, Pokemon's not that bad right now, in my opinion. I mean, you pick up Charizard, Jushiro, and you can just run.
Oh, yeah. No, I played that deck because that's the deck they give you in live.
Charizard,
right?
Roaring Moon's really easy to run.
Like, yeah, Roaring Moon is easy too. There's a couple easy decks. And
just stay away from Lost Box and you're probably fine.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
And understanding that, again, the intimidating part isn't really understanding the cards because that's played Magic forever before Pokemon and all that. It's the meta.
Yeah, of course.
It's the relearning everything out there. And
that's why I want to help you. I have most of that knowledge, right?
I mean, it's probably worth waiting for rotation, right? Like,
to some extent. Like, if you're going to buy physically, for sure.
Right.
A third of the cards disappear. Mew disappears.
Mew's not like a huge issue right now, online at least.
This is true. I have not seen a Mew in a long time.
Yeah, I don't think Mew is a big issue online.
We should make it like a YouTube video.
We should. No, we should. Yeah. No, I absolutely think we should do that.
It's like attach or Sigma teaching me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just there like a student asking questions.
No, that's what I want. I think that'd be good content. I don't know. We should think about it. Let us know if you want that. Send us emails, pucklepodcast@gmail.com.
Teaching an old dog new Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's the name of
I know we could keep talking like this forever, but we are a Pokemon podcast. Start, yeah. We do have to start the show. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to cut it here, guys, and we're going to go jump right into the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, there's actually not that much to talk about. It's the calm before the storm. We're literally like 10 days out as of recording.
Yeah.
From Pokemon Day. I expect nothing to be in the news next week.
Yeah, next week is going to be dead. News.
Maybe some leaks, because it's getting more and more. We're getting to a day and age where leaks are kind of like,
nah.
If Rockstar can stop it, no one can.
Well, it's also, you have to remember, like, Pokemon, yeah, I mean, Pokemon is a large company anyway, right? Like, there's no way it doesn't leak. There's just no way.
The big issue is there are so many fake leaks that we don't know which ones are the real.
That's the only thing.
Like, remember when Let's Go leaked?
Yeah.
Remember when Let's Go leaked onto 4chan and nobody knew it leaked until they officially announced it? And then it's like, oh, we had these images, like, a month ago, and we had no clue.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll see how it goes, because I'm getting, like, the leaks are, like, all over the place right now.
I have no clue what to expect. And yeah. I kind of love it.
I do love that. I am very excited for that. But let's get into some news that definitely is important for people to know. Looks like San Francisco is going to be hosting Worlds in 2026. I don't know why the convention center in San Francisco got really excited by knowing that they were going to do that. But they decided to post it themselves and leak it before Pokemon wanted to announce it. So
it's going to be real and exciting in like a year and a half when they officially announce it. But,
you know. Yeah, well, they'll announce Worlds 2020. Oh, wait, it's Worlds 2026.
This is an extra year. There is a place between Hawaii and this.
Oh, my gosh. I thought it was 2025. I didn't realize the words that were coming out of my mouth. oh my gosh. So there's a place in between this and that. Oh my gosh. That's ridiculous.
Dang. Yeah.
They're also going to be lighting
up. My generation is starting to take over, so we get excited for stuff.
Yeah. They'll be lighting up the Empire State Building for Pokemon Day. Plus there's going to be a local event in Go. Maybe Captain Pikachu? Who knows?
Who knows?
It's not for Unova, is the thing. It's for the.
Yeah. It's for the anime.
Don't get excited.
Pokemon Horizons finally makes its debut in the U.S. after already existing for a year in Japan. and also getting its second season already in Japan. Like, it's insane how far behind we are on this new anime. It's like we were, before the anime switched over to Horizons, I think we were only like 6 months behind Japan.
Yeah, and it wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. And now we're like a full year. I don't even know what's happening either, because the dub 1000% exists.
That's because it's already like half aired in
It's already UK. Half aired in the UK and like Canada.
It could be a TV deal thing.
Oh no, it 100% is. It's 100% a Netflix issue. It's 100% a Netflix issue.
They delayed it like 2 weeks. It was supposed to start airing like literally the end of next week, I think.
Yeah. And it got pushed back to March.
Probably because I think Avatar starts next week or something.
Yeah, Avatar comes out on Monday, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I'm hyped for it.
I saw One Piece on Netflix and they did an amazing job.
Yeah,
with that.
The One Piece on Netflix, I was actually really impressed by.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I heard it. I wasn't gonna watch it. I'm like, this is gonna be bad.
Well, because Cowboy Bebop
all
did
the
terrible.
Secondhand. Yeah, right. And then I heard all the second people like you know secondhand say people just saying like, hey, it's really good. Then
yeah, it's actually
it,
really good.
Yeah, it's really good. So I'm excited what they do with Avatar.
All right. Well, Sigma, talk about the other things that are happening.
I think Jushiro is red.
Yes.
Oh, no.
We're
Jushiro,
talk about
Jushiro,
Violet
you're red.
And Scarlet. We're going to sign up for the second global challenge that opens later this week, with battles being held over the first weekend of March.
I should do that. I should do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sign up for this.
Yeah, I just need to find a team.
Do it.
I don't have it too. I have to make one.
I want to be Hard Trick Room Hattering, I think.
Ooh.
Is where I'm at.
That sounds fun. I actually enjoy this format right now in VGC. Like, the current format's very fun.
I enjoy it. I just have an issue finding a team that I like.
Yeah. What else
is there? And
then
on the meta, at least the online one, the staple remover removed Archeludon was banned from OU. Thanks, Rain. I don't know who Rain.
Oh, is Rain is the weather condition. Sometimes clouds get really heavy, Jushiro. and they decide to leak water.
When water and compression meet.
Yes. Yes.
But
it's because it's got a move, its signature move, the parabolic shot, is that what it's called? Or something like that.
Oh yeah. Hyper beam, but it's electricity.
It's not hyper beam, it's more like a meteor beam. But electricity.
Right.
Except in rain, it's better.
In rain, it's only one turn instead of two.
Exactly, yeah.
And you have stamina. Because
and you have stamina as an ability. Yeah. Ridiculous. I completely understand why it is. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It is a very good Pokemon.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep going, Sigma. On Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. Lots of stuff is happening because that Sinnoh Tour is happening this weekend. So there's a bunch of Sinnoh-y stuff happening leading up to it. There's a code out there to get you a Rotom quest, like if you need a Rotom.
Might need a Rotom, actually. I don't know.
Released it like once at a live event or something dumb like that. So you probably do need a Rotom.
Yeah, this is like the only time... Like, I don't know. This is like the time they always do the events during the time of year that I don't play the game.
Pokemon Day is such a rough time to have an event because you never know what the weather is going to be.
Dude, there's 3 inches of snow outside. I'm not playing Pokemon Go, okay?
I think it's supposed to be like 50 next week, so maybe it works out for me, but
I'm still not doing it.
I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, since there's like a million legendaries in Sinnoh, like different raids are happening all week.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can look into that. And then there's also the ticket for the shiny shaman if you want to get that for like $5. Oh,
I might do that.
It's like a year long quest you have to do, but
yeah, no, I like those other the year long ones though, because then you always have something
very good.
To do.
I very much agree.
Like those
it's
are
nice
the
to have that goal. It's a good those goal.
Are the, yeah, and for something yeah. as big as a shiny mythical, I think that's fair.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with you.
I'm not touching it this time because I actually sat through the resets in BDSP. So I have a shiny shaman in my Pokemon home. I don't need this one, but.
Makes sense. It's me now. In the TCG.
Hi.
The May TCG set is going to be called Twilight Masquerade, releasing on the 24th and likely featuring Blood Moon, Ursaluna, and Ogerpon, which is to be expected because they are going to be legal for NAIC weekend. So that makes sense.
NAIC is early this year.
Yeah, NAIC is early. Where is it? It's in Louisiana. That's right. Yeah. So everybody can stop complaining about going to Ohio, I guess.
Mm.
Temporal Forces, which is the next set that's coming out. The pre-release promos have been shown, and it looks like it's going to be Matang, Coridon, Miraidon, and Feraligatr. Yay, Feraligatr.
Feraligatr looks good. This. I think it does Doesn't it do like 280 or something like
it
that?
It does 280 actually. Yeah, I know. The Feraligatr deck I saw it had some like early results in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was doing okay. So I might go build it just for funsies.
I can't blame you. Matang is gonna be really good for metal decks. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all just coming back.
The next set's gonna be decent. It's gonna do a lot of work.
It is.
But yeah, that is it for the actual news that is out there. There is a survey. Please go fill out the Puckle survey if you have not already. We're like six away, and then I get to go give a lecture on Pokemon or Power Rangers. Six responses away. So do it. Feed me. And then additionally, we've got Puckle's Poke Prediction as always, which is, will Charizard be available in whatever the next game will be? Oh, actually, no. I don't know that it will be.
Right? I don't think it.
I was thinking like next gen. Like, yeah, the first gen 10 game, 100% there's a Charizard.
Right.
Like, is it in a Unova remake? I don't know.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is in a Unova remake.
That's a hard question.
It might be in like a Johto remake too. It could be in a Johto.
If it's Johto, I could see a Charizard.
Yeah. If there's something to do with Johto, I think Charizard will be there. Honestly, my feeling is we are going to get, like, so if there's a Legends game, I think they will probably try to push that game over the edge by making the fire type starter a Charmander.
Really?
I think they will. Like, with the success that they had with just Pokemon Legends Arceus, and the fact that they had already been pushing Charizard, like, so hard in Gen 8, I think they had to, like, step back from that. So we got the Charizard equivalent, which was just Typhlosion.
And then in Scarlet and Violet, we got Standing Charizard again, which we wanted for so long.
So I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if there's a Legends game, if Charizard was the starter, though.
So,
and if it does and they do the Legends thing where they combine it with a different type, what type would you do it?
I think they just give us Dragon Charizard.
I can see that.
A Dragonfire?
Yeah. I think we get a Dragonfire Charizard. Yeah, I think Charmeleon evolves into a Dragonfire Charizard. And
so,
the people that are upset that it's not a dragon can rejoice. Like, I don't understand the people who get upset at that, by the way. Like, isn't it cooler that we got a different typing than dragon? Dragon's not a cool type. Like, it's not a cool type.
The internet is that. Just
I know.
It's whatever people want.
Like, I just think, people that are upset at Gyarados for not being dragon type, they could, like, I don't understand. Like, flying water Gyarados is kind of cool.
It is kind of.
And it's a great type of combat. I mean, if you don't fight against an electric.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's very good.
It's fine. Like, I like it a lot. I think I think game design wise, it's really fun.
Like, my curiosity is, are they going to do regional evolutions again, or are we going to go to convergent species starters next time?
No, not convergent species. I think that's a step too far.
I mean, I see a world where we get that Fire Snivy eventually.
I don't think it's going to happen. I really think that maybe like down the road. I don't think right now, because regionals are such a good hit. I mean, we still got regionals in Paldea on top of convergent species. And honestly, I think Wigglet. Yes, I don't disagree with you. I think Wigglet and Toadscruel really exist, honestly, to help drive home the point of Paradox Pokemon, mm-hmm. which are, these are different Pokemon, but they look the same, right? Throughout the gameplay.
I love Wigglet, but it is definitely the weakest of the three convergent species we have.
Yes.
So.
Wait, three? We have two. We have two convergent species.
We have Poltergeist, too.
Oh, yeah, Poltergeist. Yeah.
Oh, right.
That one a lot. I like
that one. That one's good. Evolution. I like that because...
That one's really good.
Exactly.
Like, that one, a lot of thought put into it. I like that one.
That one's fine. I think convergent evolution is fine. I really think it's fine, but I think regional forms are better.
I think convergent evolution needs... It's fine, but they really need to... Like, for example, Wigglet... They really did hammer in too close with Ducktrio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're like convergence and evolution in nature, it's about them having similar features, but not being the same Pokemon, the same animal. For example, bats and birds arrive convergent evolution into flying, but they're not related, right? Bats are mammals, birds are birds. So, but they got there through the same method. So I want to see that, like, not the same Pokemon, just different types or made out of mushrooms and stuff. I mean, I just want them to have something that's different.
Toadscruel is a better convergent.
I like
Toadscruel. Toadscruel is better than Wigglet.
Wigglet's definitely the worst. I love it. I use it as my Switch icon, but it is the worst.
Yes.
Of the three.
But so Wigglet works because of how ridiculous it is.
I think it's just kind of like Game Freak's way of kind of being lazy about regionals anyway, is convergence. Right. I think by just based on the fact of how many regionals we got in Legends Arceus, if we got a Legends game, I think it's just going to be a regional. I don't think we're going to get convergent starters. I don't think that'll happen.
I see it. Also,
I did enjoy a lot that they made regionals have their own Pokedex entries, which I think is.
I think there's also just like the hype at this point too. Like, if you see a Pokemon become a starter in a Legends game, you know it's getting a new final, and that just builds the hype even more.
Right? Now they did ruin the ability of the Pokemon Company to put three starters together that were not related in promo images now. Because I remember when they put out Indigo Disc trailer, and everyone's like, "Oh, these guys are the next set of starters for a Legends game." It's like, "Oh no, stop it,
stop it,
you are awful. Don't do this."
I wouldn't be surprised though. Like next Legends game, Charizard. Like I would not be. I would not be surprised.
I would also appreciate like a Torchic, but you know,
I would too. But I think Charizard is. Or think Charmander's Charizard, like the one that's going to happen.
Greninja, and I'm thinking about the third grass type.
You're going with all the coolest things, so give it to Sceptile.
Well,
too.
They might as well.
Might as well give Greninja. It to Sceptile. Ooh,
Snivy. There we go.
I wouldn't be surprised if they gave us, like, as underwhelming as it would be, like one of the Gen 8 starters in the next Legends game. Because we did get Rowlet. We did get Rowlet, you know.
Right.
Oh, I think the Pokemon Company is very aware that they're like the weakest set of three. I think the Pokemon Company is aware.
Which one?
The Gen 8 starters. Like, they're just the weakest
set.
I think they are.
They are?
I think, like, in terms of, like, design.
I like Rillaboom still, but, you know.
Yeah, I like them.
I don't think they're, I don't think.
Sobble.
Okay, you can say you like them. All starters are, like, better designs for Pokemon. But we're not doing this episode today, but. One day we will, but when you're talking about, like, if you compare all of the starters together, I think the Gen 8 starters are just all some of the weakest starters that we could have had.
Interesting.
I think Gen 7's not great either, but kind
of. That's where I land on. I think Gen 7
outside of, like, Rowlet.
Yeah, I think they Rowlet's have Rowlet, cool. And they have Incineroar, which...
that's true.
Regret. I mean, yeah. I've grown on Primarina, too. But
that's true.
I don't think Popplio is that great of a starter.
I think when you look at just like the base starters, like as groups of three, I think they really pop just because they went very strong on the colors with those three.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like Johto is one of the weaker ones too, but.
Yeah, Chikorita really brings that down. I'm not going to lie.
It really does. I like Cyndaquil a lot. Like Totodile is fine for me, but Chikorita is sad.
Well, I'm going to cut us off here because we've gone off the Charizard course, which is fine because we don't need to talk about Charizard that much. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to stop it here, and we're going to go to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer five Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to our trivia. Thank you for that introduction. We're going to jump right on into it. Our first question this week is going to come to you from the British Gent. Oh, actually, no. Maybe. Actually, you know what? I'm going to do it, and you guys can guess. I'm going to give you a plus or minus 10 on
Mr.
this.
Mr. Gent.
I'm going to give you a plus or minus 10 on this answer.
Let's go, Ranges.
According to Bulbapedia, how many volumes of the Pokemon manga have been released? Volumes of the Pokemon manga.
Oh, snap.
Just Pokemon Adventure or Pokemon manga total?
Pokemon manga. That's what I have.
I am out. I have no
plus or minus 10
clue.
On
not
the volumes.
Even a number.
Plus or minus 10.
I just assume that they're like 8 volumes per region, I think. I know box sets exist, and I think there's like 8-ish volumes in a box set or something like that. But Yellow exists as its own thing.
Holy snap. I'm going to round it up to 10 per generation. I mean, how much is a volume in manga? I don't read enough mangas to know.
A volume in manga is usually, I think, about 8 chapters.
8 chapters? Okay, so
8-ish
it's
chapters, something like that.
Let's say that they're in Gen 9 now?
Yeah, there's probably only like 1 volume per Gen 9. There wasn't much of Gen 8 either.
Jenny, I'm going to say 90. 90 volumes.
So here, I think we should add some more to that.
Okay.
Because there's also like yellow chapters, Heart Gold Soul Silver chapters.
Gotcha. You're right. Oh, so, man.
I would probably guess like 140-ish, maybe.
Okay, that's...
Or 130-ish, yeah. 140-ish, somewhere in there.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
140 is your final answer?
We'll go 130.
130 is unfortunately incorrect and outside of the range by a lot.
Oh, no.
The answer is 64.
Oh, my.
Wow.
There's 64 volumes of the Pokemon manga. But yeah, I don't have the list in front of me where I would tell you.
Huh. Okay.
Well, all right. Moving on. Our next question is going to come to you from, I believe, Wyatt White. In Pokemon Go, teaching Pokemon the right attacks can be a gamble when they know multiple different attacks. Which Pokemon learns the most attacks, both fast and charge moves combined?
Oh, no. I have no idea.
Today's tough. What's a Pokemon known for knowing lots of moves, I guess? Mew?
But I don't know if it knows... I don't know if it has moves in Go. Go learning moves is like a completely different thing. It might be Charizard because it had two community
I'll give you
days.
The free hint that this Pokemon has 39 moves total.
Wow. Wow. Like, Smeargle's cheating, so it's not Smeargle. You can't teach it moves. It just comes with them.
Mm.
39 moves. That's a lot.
That's a lot. The only thing that pops into my mind is Mew. Mew doesn't attack?
No, it attacks. It just doesn't, like... Learn stuff? I mean, we could probably try Mew. Like, it's the one in the regular games that would have that many moves, right?
Right. He's the Pokemon known for knowing every move or able to learn every move.
Yeah. Right?
That's his gimmick. So it would surprise me if it's not Mew, but I don't know about Go that much.
Yeah, I have no clue when it comes to moves, so...
So Mew?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mew is correct.
I'm glad they got that lore correct.
Yeah.
I'm glad they had that lore correct.
Well, you guys are one for two. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. This one is going to come to you from Smeargle19. Its Pokemon Violet entry reads, when defending its friends, this Pokemon will stand up to any opponent, no matter how strong, but is powerless when faced with an empty stomach. Who's that Pokemon? It did say who's that anime protagonist, but I wanted to make sure I didn't confuse you.
That sounds like a dog Pokemon.
Hungry and loyal.
Yeah.
Or useless when hungry, but loyal. Fido?
Maybe? It's in Violet. It could be that. Sure, let's go with Fido. I can't really, because the other one's...
It's a dog that is food.
Right.
So you're going with Fido?
We're going to go with Fido.
Fido is unfortunately incorrect. Your next entry is, it's Pokemon White entry reads.
Oh.
Whatever it eats becomes fuel for the flame in its stomach. When it's angered, the intensity of the flame increases.
It is fire. Could it be
flame in its stomach? Growlithe?
Growlithe?
Yeah. It's in... Like, Pokemon White doesn't tell us much. It just tells us that it's in the first five games.
And then to me, it still sounds like a dog. So Growlithe.
Yeah, that's
the only one I can think of. Yeah.
Growlithe? Growlithe is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Pignite.
Why is that protecting things? Why does that need
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because nobody cared about it. We never learned its entry.
I wouldn't know. I never picked it.
Yeah.
I just got its dex entry and moved on.
Okay, you guys are one for three right now. Your next answer is your multiple answer question, as always. Now, looking at this, I have two types of questions to ask for you that you can choose from. One is about the Pokemon anime. And some minor specifics about the Pokemon anime. And then there's another one that is about signature moves.
Ooh.
Your choice.
Which one do you feel more comfortable with?
I'm about even on both of them, so it's up to you.
Man, I want to go signature moves. Okay. They interest me more.
Signature moves? All right. There are 11 answers here. what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do something that we've never done for this question. And I'm going to offer you guys up to 4 points on this question. I'm going to offer you up to 4 points on this question. There are 11 answers. For every 3 answers you give me, I will give you 1 point. There are 11. So if you give me the last 2 after you get the first 3 points, I will give you an additional point up to 4. This is from Zay Paladin. Name the starter signature moves that are still available to only one starter. There are 11 in total.
So it has to just be to the starter.
I mean, it's still their signature move. Nobody else learns it.
Oh, okay. So it's not Matt Block because, well, one, it doesn't happen anymore, but two, Throw had it for some reason.
Yes. It would not be Matt Block.
But it would be...
But Water Sharingan.
No, not Water Shuriken. Excelgore has it. Though Excelgore is not in the game right now, so maybe it counts.
That does not count. That does not count. It means, like, in general, has another Pokemon ever learned this move ever?
Meaning Pyro Ball would be correct.
Pyro Ball is correct. Snipe Shot is also correct. Those are two of them that are correct.
I believe Grookey's is Drum Beating.
Drum Beating is also correct. That is 3 for a point.
Torch Song.
Torch Song is also correct. Torch Song is correct. Are you going to get, are we locking in Dark Lariat?
It's not Dark Lariat. Dark Lariat was a TM last gen.
So you're at 4. Yeah, you are at 4.
Yeah. So we need, Aqua Step is Quequavals.
Aqua Step is 5. That is correct.
Court Change is still a Cinderace signature move somehow.
It is. You are correct. That is 6. You're at 2 points.
Don't know how Passimian doesn't have it, but we continue on. What is the Meowscarada's flower trick? That's the flower trick.
Yeah. That is 7.
And Torch. We already said Torch.
We got
Song,
Torch Song.
Right?
So we got the newest guys. The Hisuian starters signature moves. Infernal Parade.
That is correct. That is 8.
Oh, both of Decidueye's signature moves are still there.
Which ones?
I'm trying to think of their names. Triple Arrow, I think, is the new one.
It's Triple Arrows, yep, for Hisuian and Decidueye. How many is that? That's 9? That's 9 now? Yeah, so you have 3 points. There's 2 more moves you need.
Ceaseless Edge.
Ceaseless Edge from Hisuian and Samurott, that's 10.
What is regular Decidueye's signature move?
I don't recall.
It's like a chain move. It's the arrow. It's Sinister Arrow Raid.
I love that you know that, move, but the actual move.
Yeah, right. Spirit Shackle. That's the name.
Spirit Shackle is correct. That is all 11 moves. Wow. You did that. That is 4 points for you guys. On that,
I don't
one.
Know how. Awesome. Actually, there is not a new archer. That's why Spirit Shackle hasn't been given
exactly,
out.
Exactly. They haven't had the crossover with Pal World yet.
Like,
no, I was going to make a Pal World joke and I stopped.
It's like you might have been able to get it on Iron Valiant, but did you need to? No.
No.
We're good.
No. All right. Well, you guys are 5 for 4 now. Your last question is your base stat question, as always. This one is coming from Fiamon. What poison type Pokemon has the highest base defense?
So... we can use a hint here. My initial thought is probably Toxapex, but...
Right.
You want to use the hint?
Yeah, let's do that.
The hint is useless to us.
This is a Gen 9 Pokemon.
Ooh. So, poison types in Gen 9 with high defense. Revavroom might be up there.
Because it's steel, yeah.
It's a steel type, so... what other poison types in Gen 9 are there?
I don't think there were that many, or were they?
Oh, like, I know it's not the Paradox Pokemon because it's Iron Moth, and Iron Moth is not known for its defense. It is a fast special attacker. So,
right. And the other poison that I can think of is the monkey, which I forgot its name.
It is not Grafaii.
Yeah, Grafaii.
It better not be Grafaii.
Yeah.
There's a lot of poison types in Gen 9, actually.
Really? It's not Clodsire. Really?
They introduced Clodsire a lot is a special in the DLC.
Bulky. Oh, yeah, there are three guys in the poor guy. Oh, it's Petrarun.
Which one?
The mythical. The Peach. Mythical Peach.
Oh.
It has like an 88 in all stats except defense, where it's 160.
Yeah.
Oh, then there it is, yeah.
Petrarunt is correct with a 160 base defense. Next up is Toxapex with 152, followed up by Mega Venusaur at 123, and then both Weezings at 120.
Okay. So yeah, Venusaur does better than I expect. Well,
yeah,
Mega
you guys
Venusaur,
got 6 points the there though, today. Yeah. 6 points for you guys for doing that. So let's go ahead. That does change up the standings, I think, maybe. It does.
I don't know if we added the points from last week.
I don't know. It was not me. All right. So in first place, we've got Whimsicott with 15, followed up by Claude9 with 14. In third, we've got Yushiro with 13. In fourth, we have Sar Sigma with 12. These are all the people who've been on the show twice this year. And then you've got Seth Vilo in fifth with 8. Lydian and Sublime are tied with 7. Shark has 6. And then everybody else has yet to get on the board in our race to 40. We'll see who gets there. All right. That is going to be it for Puckle's Poke Quiz. Tune in next week if you want more quiz-tastic action. I was going to say that. I was trying to come up with a new tagline. It failed. All right. Well, on to the topic. We have another review from FatPat1988. It slaps. I began listening to the podcast back in Gen 5 right before X and Y released. At the time, it was okay. Fell out of Pokemon for a bit around Gen 7 and only recently came back. I came back to the podcast as well. I have to say, they have really grown into something spectacular. I thoroughly enjoy the structure and content of the show. At this point, in my opinion, it is easily one of the best Pokemon podcasts out there. Well, thank you, FatPat1988. And if you have a review, please drop it wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps people find the show. But until next time, let's move on to the topic.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the topic. Our topic today is top 5, bottom 5 legendaries.
Woof.
You guys didn't think we could do it, but we did. We came up with top fives outside of types.
We have more. We can continue.
Yes.
Yeah, people are. I just remember so many people were just like, what are you going to do after the types? Here's 7 ideas of mine. And I'm like, guys, we got this figured out. I've been planning this for months.
Yeah, like after the first couple episodes were a success, it's like we figured it out.
We got to keep this going. We have to keep going after types, right? Like, we thought about this, guys. All right, but yeah, we're going to do legendaries. I really want to start off with legendaries.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun, easy one to introduce the concept of, not a top, bottom five types episode.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the list of legendary Pokemon. We aren't including mythical Pokemon today because that's another episode in its own right.
Ultra Beasts aren't legends anymore either, so.
They're not considered sub-legendary, are they? No. To be fair, I don't think I would have done it anyway.
After they added Paradox Pokemon, they got their own category.
Well, yeah, because I would argue that Ultra Beast and Paradox Pokemon are pretty similar anyway. So that makes sense to me.
But they're separate categories, but the same category, if that makes sense. Like,
we are including what people might title sub-legendary Pokemon, like Articuno and friends and stuff like that.
So it's not just the things on the face of the box in Zygarde.
Yeah, I don't want to just do box art legendaries. That's not fun. Not fun at all. But yeah, I think we...
And most of them are good. Most of them.
Most of them are good. I think we can get a bottom five pretty easily. I don't know if we're going to get a top five super easily. I think we're going to have some contention, but I guess I'll kick things off. So first of all, if you are new to these types of episodes, what we do is each of us will nominate somebody for the top and the bottom, and we will discuss. And then once we fill up the list, we'll go around if in case we have like any disputes with that list that we think we really need to push a different Pokemon on. I'm going to go with like some riskier stuff at the front here, just because there are things that I think are cool, but maybe, you know, you guys wouldn't agree. Qian Pao, I think, is an awesome top.
I like Qian Pao.
I think that's an awesome top five. I think for modern legendaries, I think out of what we got in Scarlet and Violet, I think Qian Pao is the coolest looking.
Yes.
Dark Ice type is also just a cool type.
Yeah, Mega Weavile's cool. I personally prefer Chiyu.
Mega Weavile.
Mega Weavile.
I think Qian Pao is deserving of a top spot.
I think it's also based on a sword, which is just really cool compared to like beads like Chiyu. So, and they did...
The thing that's pushing it over the edge for me is, despite liking Chiyu more, Qian Pao is good in both the video games and the TCG. So I will give the edge to Qian Pao because of that.
I also have to say, like, that quartet of legendaries is done so well.
They're all hits.
They're just, like, design-wise, they're all very cool, I think, because they go, these are these treasures.
Mm-hmm. They're unique.
I agree.
And they decided to make the Pokemon themselves based on the treasures. I think they're really cool. You can say you hate Wotien, but I think Wotien's still very cool.
I think Wotien's fine. It's mid. It's mid.
Like, I...
And the fact that...
Compared to the other ones that are all top.
I think Wotien's a solid, like, B, you know? Not S, not A, but B.
Yeah, it's like a B or C for me. Like, it's not at the bottom, but it's not as high as the other three.
Okay, so we all agree, like, Qian Pao. Qian Pao's, like, there.
It's hard to disagree with Qian Pao. It's just such a great design. It's a great, because it is legendary, we should take into account its history as well. At least for I am.
You know what? I agree with that for all of these. We should definitely take into account the lore that the Pokemon has.
The lore, yeah. Because that's what makes them legendary, right? I mean, their stats make them legendary, but you know what I mean. In lore-wise, that's what makes them legendary. And it's just hard to argue against Qian Pao and all these new legendaries. They remind me of, I don't know if there's any Steven Universe fans. You know that for those gems characters, the gem is the actual real. Everything around them, their body, is just an illusion because they're just the gem. And I kind of feel that way towards these legendaries, which, like, the item is the Pokemon. The rest of it just formed around it, but it's not the Pokemon.
I am looking forward to a Legends game with these legends in it, like in the past. The lore they built up for it makes that exciting.
I honestly wonder if they purposely built up the lore around these guys too for a Legends game in the future.
Like them destroying the Kingdom of Paldea is like something that sounds exciting.
There's a lot of things you could do for a Legends game for Paldea now. Like you could just go on an expedition with Heath, right? Or you could do the Treasures of Ruin. Like there's a lot you could do. But yeah, okay. So we all agree. Qian Pao.
Yeah. Qian Pao, right there.
It's there. It's top. So bottom, we talked about it at the beginning of the show, like Cosmoem / Cosmog. Like, do we care? Like, Cosmog is probably better, but like Cosmoem.
I'm okay with Cosmog. Like, as useless as it is, it's actually cute in the story. Cosmoem is then.
Yeah. I also think the idea, I do love the idea of like, especially story-wise, narratively, of us having like this weak Pokemon that evolves into.
That's what, yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, you follow its journey. Yeah.
The legendary, like, I love that the entire time, like, you're not supposed to know, but it's Pokemon's very bad at not like putting the writing on the wall that your little buddy was actually the legendary for the game the entire time.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Cosmoem
is a Palmo. It is a Palmo.
It is a Palmo. It is 100% a Palmo. So you know what? Cosmoem goes there. Cosmoem on the bottom.
Really?
What else are you going to put on the bottom?
Do you want to defend Cosmoem?
Yeah, defend it. Defend it.
Well, that's the thing. I like the lore of it, and I like its purpose. It's not there to be menacing. It's not there to be, it's there to be in something you're supposed to care about. Something you're supposed to, like, I want to protect this little cinnamon roll, you know?
Yeah, Cosmog. That's Cosmog.
Yeah, Cosmog. This is Cosmog. Cosmog, that you're thinking of Cosmog. You're describing Cosmog.
Cosmoem is like the...
Oh, you're talking to... You guys are talking about Cosmoem.
Yeah, the bad one that's always asleep.
Oh! Yeah, I agree.
It has no emotion. It's just kind of there.
Sorry. Yeah. I thought it was Cosmo that we're talking about exclusively.
Lily carries around in its bag despite being like max weight.
Well, they're trying to make Cosmo like they're trying to give you like a sense of like, oh man, we got to go save our little buddy Cosmog because something happened to it. And it's just like it's very unnecessary to the story, and it's very unnecessary to the Pokemon.
Like, it could have just been a form of Cosmog instead of an evolution.
Okay, yeah, I agree. We can leave it there.
All right. Well, Sigmar or Jashira, I don't care who goes next.
I'll go next. And since, you know me, I gotta stick with my git. We're talking about legendaries. There's only one legendary that immediately comes to mind when you think about legendaries, and that is the OG Mewtwo.
I don't disagree. I actually don't disagree.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Mewtwo is the first real feeling, even though we have the legendary birds. When you encounter Mewtwo in Red and Blue, it's just such an out-of-world experience to be that gorilla-looking thing, because the sprite for Mewtwo was horrible in the first...
Yeah, it was a bad sprite.
So we just talked about... We were talking about Qian Pao and, like, the lore behind it.
Right.
Mewtwo had lore.
No. I'm not saying Mewtwo doesn't have lore, because you can obviously go to, like, the Burned Mansion in Cinnabar, and there's a bunch of books and stuff.
There's has way too much lore at this point.
It has more lore than Lugia.
Right.
I think it literally just like, demonstrates the change in how Pokemon games have been built as of late, because you look at Qian Pao, and we get the whole story explained to us, right? The king had these treasures, he probably stole them, kind of, and then they ended up being evil.
History class was a very good addition to the
games. Yeah, but this is like completely unnecessary for you to catch Mewtwo. You don't have to read the books in the Burned Mansion. And even then, it's still super vague. It's just like, yeah, we tried to make this thing and it escaped.
The movie helped add to the prestige of it too.
It did. But like, I don't know, you look at Mewtwo and you're just like, yeah, we gave it, you know, the bare minimum lore here, guys.
I mean, it's not the bare minimum. Like I said, Lugia exists.
Yeah.
Right. And we do even know its birthday. We know Mewtwo's birthday.
That's true. Back when they also like referenced like real world places and Pokedex entries. I agree Mewtwo should be on...
Right. South America.
South America, Russia, I think is referenced in the original Pokemon games. I believe China. I think China's also...
Doesn't Raichu mention an Indian at...
Yeah, an Indian elephant, like specifically an Indian elephant, yes.
Right.
Not Kapuraja.
But Mewtwo's just hard to argue against. I mean, it's the father.
I have no problem with Mewtwo being on the top five of this list.
There you go. I mean, that was just... let's just get that out of the way.
Okay, do you have a bottom? Do you have a bottom, Jashiro?
I do have a bottom. I don't know. Oh, some of these legendaries are 3-0s. Are we allowed to say 3-0s in a bottom, or do I have to pick out of those 3-0s which one I think it's the worst?
You have to pick the one that's the worst offender.
I mean, pick one to represent them.
Okay, pick the worst one to represent them. Okay, it is no mystery that I hate the 3-0 Mews, the emotional.
Okay, I was gonna say, if you're talking about a trio,
I assume that's where you were going.
Honestly, of all of the trios, I think that's the easiest one to be like, yeah, they don't belong.
I assumed that's where we were going when you asked the question, so yeah.
Yeah, I hate Uxie, Misprit, and Asof. I think their lore are okay, but their designs...
I like Azelf, if that makes you feel better.
Their existence, like, was better justified with Legends Arceus, but before that, like, their existence makes me upset.
They've always seemed like something that should have like an extra form or something to separate them apart, and they don't.
Right. So if I have to pick one of those,
I think you could argue this about a lot of Gen 4 stuff, but I think if you're gonna pick one, I think it would just be Mesprit, right? Like Mesprit.
I would pick Mesprit because roaming legends are also awful.
Exactly. So Mesprit.
Uxie's my least favorite, but Mesprit's probably the worst one, just because roaming legend. Middle of the line stats are also just kind of not great.
I don't know. It was another one of those Pokemon too, where they it's kind of like follows up with the Cosmo, where it's just like, we really tried to do something here with the story and we just missed spectacularly.
Right.
because they're trying to hype up like, oh, Azelf said hi to you, but like they try to pull a Tapu Koko.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they, it just like really fell flat. Like, I don't think the story really followed up with it. And to be fair, early Pokemon really didn't want to add that much. They wanted you to have your own experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nowadays, it, like modern Pokemon is just like very much over your head. Like, this is a legendary for this reason.
And the fact that they only had one type and it was psychic, for the longest time, people would just...
I'm really upset they didn't get retconned with fairy. Like, I am really upset they didn't get retconned with fairy. Like, even if they were all just, like, psychic fairy, I think it would have been really cool.
Damn. You know what? Now that you say that, if they do ever retcon them to fairy, that would be... That would put them one tier up.
Yeah, right? It would, but they didn't.
Because it would make more sense. Otherwise, they're just bad copies of Mews, and that for that, we have Mew.
You are correct. You are correct, though.
I knew exactly where you were going with that. And I'm like,
yeah, no. Well, Sigma, I think it's your turn. Well, so we're all in like very angry agreement.
You mentioned a Pokemon during that last one. You mentioned a Pokemon, and I do think it's top five material. My favorite of that group is Tapu Lele.
And Coco represents that group way better.
Tapu Koko deserves to be up there, right? Like,
I like that. Like, the theme so far has been like, if there's four of them, it's probably better than if there's three of them.
Right.
That's mostly true. There's a set where that's not, but you know.
I think it's very funny that seems to be the case.
I don't have much love for Tapu Bulu, but like Tapu Koko is really well handled.
Story-wise, lore-wise, like they did the whole like, oh, you're special because this Pokemon likes you thing, and that's pretty much all they gave it.
Yeah, and then you get to battle it after you become the champion. That's really cool. They took that away, but you know, that's fine.
I'm gonna give you Tapu Koko. I can't fight against Tapu Koko.
I think the terrain abilities were really cool when they were added.
It's shiny, looks amazing. Like, it's just, there's so many positive things that you just cannot deny how that.
There is one negative that I almost would nominate for bottom five, and that their Z-move never appears anywhere else. Never made it to the TCG. Guardian of Alola is so bad.
I'm okay with that Z-move not seeing the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like this is like a really stupid complaint about the Tapus because they made this really cool product. Like I used to sometimes like pick up like the Pokemon action figure toys because sometimes they're really cool, especially if it's like one of my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, I understand that.
And so Tapu Koko, like they came out with a Tapu Koko figure. It's actually on my shelf behind me right now. But and the coolest thing is it would do the thing where it would like close up into his clamshell.
Oof.
And so all of the Tapus like can do this, right, for the Guardian of Alola attack.
Where they become the head of the giant Golem of Light.
Where they become the head of the giant. But unfortunately, like, because of the designs of the other Tapus that aren't Tapu Koko, it's really hard to make a toy that'll do that.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'm really upset that toys of the other three don't exist.
I would think that making Tapu Fini close like a clam wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, the other ones just don't exist, and it's upsetting to me.
Like, Tapu Lele would be annoying to do, because you're just kind of shoving it in like a...
Exactly. Yeah,
or a cork. You're trying to cork a bottle. Tapu Bulu, I wouldn't have thought.
I would have loved to have like figures of the other ones that like close up into those little clamshells.
Yes.
But I'm also a sucker for like Megazord toys, obviously, and like Transformers.
No, what that reminds me of is the Digimon Digi-Egg toys where they would transform.
I'm also a sucker for that, obviously.
Like that's what that reminds me of, because that's what Tapu Koko reminds me of when it closes its little shell.
Well, do you have a nominee for the bottom?
There are many nominees for the bottom available.
tell me more.
I feel bad because I don't think this one will work, but I don't like Verizon Wireless.
Actually, okay, so like I was gonna suggest this actually. So I think you have the right co-host on for this to make it work.
I like the other two. I don't like Verizon. I don't know.
The Three Musketeers, I can definitely live without them.
Virizion is certainly the weakest. I'm actually really upset that like Iron Leaves was the one they chose to like kick that off. Because I'm like, guys, I think that's not the right choice. Like you chose Walking Wake first, which yeah, that's a banger.
And you put it up against that, yeah.
And then you put it up against Iron Leaves. Guys, come on. Iron Crown or Iron Boulder are both better answers. Like, should have been shown instead of Iron Leaves.
I think Iron Leaves is better than Virizion, too. But, you know, I think it had
I agree. I agree. Virizion is bottom tier.
And the swordmen don't, or the musketeers don't really have lore to them, do they?
It's not like, it's
not that I can recall.
It's not great lore. It's like right on the
if it's like lore, it's like almost on par with, like Mesprit, where it's just like, they protect Unova.
They feel kind of like the Calyrex lore, where they're like, they protect weak Pokemon. They're here.
No, I think you're exactly correct.
It is, it does say something that my favorite of those is just Keldeo, which is not even a legendary.
It's a mythical, so, you know.
Which is a mythical, which can't make it here. Yeah, you aren't wrong.
The other issue I've always had with them is that they're musketeers, right? They should have been in Kalos. Why weren't they in Kalos? Kalos has no sub-legends.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, I guess they didn't think Kalos existed at the time.
Kalos doesn't have sub-legends. Like, and there's three musketeer Pokemon. Like, what happened? But yeah, no, Virizion. I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah, the Swords of Justice lore, just so they do have some things, apparently.
Were they from the movie?
And they're not even the only legendary trio from that generation.
No, I don't know. That's no. This is from the game. Yeah, yeah. The Swords of Justice have challenged humans, according to the legend, in order to protect Pokemon from losing their homes to human expansion. According to legend, the three Swords of Justice distrust humans because of a war that endangered Pokemon living in Unova. The war between two human factions resulted in a forest fire in the Moor of Icerus. I'm going to say that wrong, but yes. The lives of many wild Pokemon that live there were endangered because of it. But yeah, Terrakion shaped the earth and created a passage by which to escape. Virizion used its speed to shield the Pokemon from sparks and embers.
So it didn't do anything. Okay.
So it didn't do anything.
Yeah, the grass Pokemon protected them from the fire. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, while the leader, Cobalion, ushered the Pokemon to safety. Despite their efforts, the forest eventually burned to the ground. However, amongst the ashes, the three came across a lone Pokemon known as Keldeo, who was separated from his parents. Oh, it's all Keldeo lore. This is all just Keldeo lore that became their lore. Oh my gosh.
Keldeo is the main protagonist of that trio.
The trio adopted Keldeo into their group and taught it knowledge and moves necessary in order to survive.
I don't for a second believe that Virizion was fast enough to stop fire. That thing would have died. Get out. Those are all lies. That is propaganda. That is Keldeo propaganda. Get it out. Get it out of here.
Yeah, that's propaganda.
All right. Okay. Well, I guess it circles back to me. We're just all in, like, we haven't had a disagreement yet, which is shocking to me. Okay, so I'm going to nominate for top. If in the top, we've got a lot of options. It's getting a little bit weaker, I think.
There are a lot of good options, though.
There's a lot of options here. I think some are weaker than others. I'm going to do it so I can get shot down immediately. I like Lugia. I'll even argue Ho-Oh. I think they're both pretty cool.
Ho-Oh has lore to it. Lugia does not.
Oh, you got to choose there because...
No, Lugia, no. Okay. If we're going to, let's take into account the lore of Lugia. I'm going to be a little bit meta as well, okay?
Disturb not the harmony of fire, ice, and lightning. Is that what the lore is?
Lugia was not created for the games. It was created for Pokemon the Movie 2000.
Yes, it was.
It was created for that movie. It was not created for Pokemon Gold and Silver. And that is why it does not have lore in those games. Ho-Oh was intended to be the probably like the Mewtwo of that of Gen 2. Like Ho-Oh 100% was the one. Lugia got ham-fisted in because Lugia's design is really cool.
It has hands. Everyone likes hands. It can swim now.
Yeah. Well, you know what the cutest thing is too? When you catch Lugia in Scarlet and Violet. When you catch it too in Scarlet and Violet, its Terra type is actually water when you catch it.
As it should be.
That I was going to say, I hate that it's not water. I've always hated that it's not water. I hate that it's been psychic.
So the creators agree with you.
Good, they should. It's a shame.
But if you remember Gen 2, if we remember Gen 2 Pokemon, they wanted Lugia to feel like a powerful Pokemon.
Okay.
They go, what's the most powerful type in the game right now? And the answer is psychic.
But it didn't need to be flying.
So they go, Lugia has to be a psychic type. It's also a bird because it's meant to be the master of Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres. So it's got to be a flying type.
Which, again, Ho-Oh could have done that too, but it's okay.
Ho-Oh kind of can, but can't because it's also a fire type like Moltres. I think that's the only way that reason it doesn't really fit into the lore that well.
We don't have a Galarian Lugia. That's also a problem for me.
Yes, I do think that Lugia and Ho-Oh not having forms.
Those are both concerns to me, and they make me very sad. I feel like maybe we can revisit this.
It both excites and scares me that they don't have forms, because that means like they might make a game where they give them forms in the near future. But then I think to myself, I'm like, do I actually want to see what they're going to come up with? Like, I saw Dialga. I saw Palkia. Okay.
After Origin form Palkia and Dialga, it's not a win. It's not a guaranteed win.
First of all, at least those I didn't want. Okay. Like, I never thought to myself, like, oh man, I want Origin form Palkia and Origin form Dialga. And then they made them, and I was just like, why did we make these?
Okay, so hear me out. I am willing to barter here.
Okay.
I give you Shadow Lugia.
Oh, Shadow Lugia is a good design too. I don't know. I feel like they were.
I will compromise on Shadow Lugia.
The way I will counter proposal is that we just put plain Lugia in because of Shadow Lugia also existing. Because I think it adds on to the awesomeness that is Lugia.
But Shadow Lugia doesn't exist anymore. And Pokemon Go failed us.
It exists in terms of the Pokemon franchise. It exists, right? Like, historically, it's existed. Like Lugia, they've just felt like they can be a little bit riskier with. I feel like because it was designed for a movie, so they kind of just did whatever they wanted.
They have no attachment to it. It just exists.
So I do not dislike Lugia. I like Lugia once a lot, but
I mean, we can not put Lugia on the list. That's okay.
No, that's what I mean. Let me rank up to it. however, I feel hard to put Lugia in the top five where Ho-Oh still exists. Because Ho-Oh, to me, is the most memorable and legendary of the Johto, the Generation 2, just because...
It was in episode one. Like,
it was in episode one of the anime. It was forever the most, like, mysterious of the legendaries. We just didn't know what it was. And the fact that it's based on a phoenix, it's even more awesome. I have to not vote, but it's two out of three, right?
Well, I'm okay.
Like, I'm more on Ho-Oh than Lugia.
I'm more on Ho-Oh.
I'm okay putting Ho-Oh up there just so the Gen 2er inside of me is satisfied.
I mean, unless you want to do Suicune. Jump ship.
Right, because they're a sequel too.
I think Ho-Oh over Suicune.
If you want to do a Gen 2 face legend, like Suicune's right there.
I would still argue that Ho-Oh is better. Like, it's more representative.
Like, Suicune is the Puckle mascot, or was.
Or I don't know. Do we have a mascot anymore?
We don't. It was.
I think Ho-Oh is more representative of Gen 2. I think it has more lore than Suicune, even.
It does. I don't disagree.
Which we've kind of said is one of the things we want to rank it on. I will put Ho-Oh. I'm okay with Ho-Oh.
All right. We can agree on Ho-Oh.
We can all agree there. Now we got to go for worst. And there are a couple options here.
There are a handful. Yeah.
There are a couple options here. I don't know which one I want to say because, like... I don't know that they're all going to make it on the list, and I feel like we're going to make somebody upset. But I feel like a way we can make nobody upset is by saying, like, Zamazenta missed the mark.
Imagine, yep. Imagine being punished for the sins of a significantly better Pokemon.
Forever living in the shadows of Zacian.
Yeah, no, okay, no. Like, how do you make Zacian? And you're just like, yeah, this is fine. And then you make Zamazenta, and you're just like, yeah, this is a fighting type Pokemon introduced in Generation 8. It gets a defense buff, and we don't give it Body Press.
Where we also introduced the move Body Press.
We don't give it Body Press. But you know what? Archaladon next gen, you're going to get Stamina, bud, and Body Press. Like, how do they not give it Body Press? Like, this is insane to me.
They finally did this gen, but like it's a little too late because now it doesn't get the ability every switch in because Zacian broke that.
Zacian ruined it for you. We're so sorry. We're so sorry, Zamazenta.
And the sad part is, like, Regieleki did the same thing, but they didn't debuff the Regidrago.
Zamazenta, I feel like, is just a bad Pokemon. And I don't know. Like, I think I mentioned this, like, a couple episodes ago, but I really feel like when they were designing Gen 8, they really started with Zacian and didn't think anything farther.
So I...
And they were just like, oh, man, we need a second version. And then Zamazenta was born.
So I don't know if you saw this discourse in like a week or two ago, where everyone was complaining that so many Pokemon Scarlet exclusives were in the like top 12 of a regional.
Yeah, I did see that. I did see this.
It's like all Scarlet, no Violet. And it's like, were you guys not playing during Sword and Shield? Like, have you seen Zacian lately?
Right.
Like, we've gone through this before. This is nothing new.
Well, even I am not convinced that once again, they designed Pokemon Scarlet, and then we're just like, oh man, we should come up with a second version. And then we got Pokemon Violet.
Yeah.
Like, I am not convinced that, like, I am not convinced that Violet was thought about before they made the game. Like, in all honesty, I just don't know what happened.
No idea. We talked about that last week there. It's just, Violet was such a disappointment for me.
The last two gens, it really just feels like they have really like came up with this one banger idea, and it should have just been one version, but they really are stuck on this two version model, and one of them is just getting shafted.
Like, there are other ways to get people to trade. Like, you could do version exclusives based on what starter you pick, right? Like, that's a thing they could do. You don't need two versions.
No. I a good example of this is literally the Gen 8 DLC, right? Like, when you could choose between catching. Yeah, you can make a choice between Regieleki and Regidrago. You can make a choice between the Dome Fossil and the Helix Fossil. You can make a choice between Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee.
Like, there are other ways to do version exclusives. Like,
yeah, you're exactly correct. You're exactly correct. There are other ways to do version exclusives, and I think the way they're doing it right now is not done well.
I mean, it gets them, like, an extra million in sales, and that's about it.
Probably more, in all honesty. Like, let's be honest. It's more than a million.
Everything, yeah.
It gets some extra sales, though. They do.
But yeah, I do think they should. I think they should just do choices. You aren't wrong. But okay, this is me. I'll let Jushiro go, and I'm sure we're just going to like vehemently agree somehow, like about what this next Pokemon on the list should be.
So we're starting with the best, right? Look, I like this Pokemon, and I hardly think that you guys are not going to disagree. But here we go, Solgaleo.
It's fine.
Okay. I think Solgaleo for top three. I mean, from design wise,
I think it's a cool design. Don't get me wrong.
It has a very cool design.
I think there are better legendaries.
Yes. More recent. I agree.
Okay.
And I agree.
No, I like this. Let's disagree.
I think there are better legendaries earlier on.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Solgaleo, like, again, is like B+.
It's very mid. I think Lunala's better, but.
I think Lunala is also BB+.
Oh, interesting. Because I did get
But I think they're both very. I think they are good designs.
They are good designs. They're just not the best designs.
Like, I think the Tapus carried the legendaries for that generation.
Okay, so my bottom five then. Which one? Man, there's so many bad ones.
There's so many bad ones.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Pick your favorite bad one.
Okay, so if we're gonna have to, let's just get these out of the way. I guess the new Okidoki Monkey Dory Fizzendipity. But if I have to choose one of them, I will go with Monkey Dory. I know that technically he's the most useful, but design wise, he just hurts my eyes.
I wouldn't say he's the most useful.
Oh, okay,
he's the most straightforward, not the most useful.
Okay. I love the names. The names are, for me, the best part of them.
I think that's the worst part of them, but continue.
I like the names.
Yeah, I like the names. I love it when they get that punny.
I'm just sad Petrarch wasn't Peachy Keen, but you know.
I like when they get really punny, so I love the names. I don't like the designs. I specifically really don't like Monkey Dory. He kind of looks like a fetus.
You don't like the monkey butt?
You know, I don't disagree with you. I mean, I think there's a lot of other bad legendaries, but I don't know that I can rank them. Like Enamorous exists now, which is
right.
You know what? You know, I'm okay with like Monkey Dory, especially specifically.
Yeah.
I think Pheasantipity is like a disappointment, as like we were all hoping for a good Poison Fairy and then we got that.
They gave it Technician with like two moves that it works for. It's so bad.
Yeah. Okay. Monkey.
Like Pheasantipity is my choice, but I'm okay with Monkey Dory.
I really want to know what's behind. We need to do an episode. Note this, that if we haven't already done an episode on how they come up with the moveset and which abilities it could learn and can't learn and all that stuff. Because sometimes it just...
We have not done that. That would be fun.
Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
That would be a fun episode. That would be a fun episode. I'm into that.
Right. Like, why did they decide to give it Technicians and then just only two moves?
Abilities that don't work.
A Pokemon with abilities that don't work. Yeah.
Or why in the first gens, why do you make Rapidash physical and give it no real physical?
Honestly, that could be a series of episodes where you're just like, this Pokemon doesn't work. Here's why and what to do to fix it.
Right. It's like, there's so many questions. Flareon, why did they decide Flareon to have attack be its main stat and then have nothing to give it back when there was nothing?
For five generations.
Right. You know, it's that I really want to be a fly on the wall to figure out how they make these decisions.
Well, Sigma, we're going to move on to you. We got to get a favorite legendary here.
All right. So I'm stuck between an earlier guy and a later guy. And we actually have like a mix right now of early and late gen Pokemon.
We have a healthy mix, actually. I don't think we have anybody in the middle, honestly.
That's because we pretend that Gen 5 and 4 don't exist, and Gen 6 doesn't have lore. So, you know, that's why. Like, no one's here saying Palkia is their favorite Pokemon. Especially when a better water legendary was in the generation before that did everything a water legendary wanted to do. So, you know what? Fine. It was tough between Koraidon and Kyogre, but I think I'm going to nominate Kyogre. Because it's everything a water legendary should be. It introduced weather. And it actually worked with its weather, unlike Groudon. Right? Like, that's where I'm at with it.
Did you know also when you catch Groudon in Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, its Terra type is fire? It's fire Terra type?
It has a fire Terra type? Yeah, that's cute. Like, it took them over a decade to fix Groudon.
I do love Kyogre. I love Kyogre. But this is the same generation where Rayquaza exists.
Yeah, but we...
Yeah, right?
But Rayquaza isn't as cool and doesn't... Like,
how dare you?
Rayquaza has too much lore that contradicts, too.
I think Kyogre is cooler than Rayquaza. I think Rayquaza was... The lore is actually pretty cool, too. I'm a big fan. I like simple lore, too. I appreciate that.
Like, Kyogre's simple design. It's like mono water, but it rains. And that's all it needs. Which means it can use thunder against other water types. Like, that's so good.
I do like Kyogre.
Fair. That's fair.
It's very simple, but it works.
I do like Kyogre.
Okay, I give in.
I like Kyogre. I think Kyogre's a
and
good
choice.
And it
has Ice Beam for dragons that would also resist its water. Like, it's very well designed.
Primal Kyogre was also cool.
Yeah, like, it was fine. It wasn't my favorite thing in the world, but it was a nice addition to it.
Right.
And, like, the next gen, they tried to do a water legend again. And I think they decided to stop trying to do that because it didn't work. Sorry, Palkia. You are not the water legendary.
You are the weakest link.
Well, okay, that's our list then.
Oh, we do have 5 and 5.
Yeah.
Do we keep going or
do we want to have any like maybe we should consider this?
Like oh,
I mean, is there anybody you think that maybe we should consider? Because I'm actually really okay with this list on both sides.
So top Ogerpon's really good. I feel bad.
Yes, I love Ogerpon.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's overhyped. I think it's like, I don't know. I feel the way I feel about Ogerpon is like, I feel like in terms of lore and hype, I think it's like a watered down Charizard and how much hype it's getting from the community. It is really good. I don't disagree.
I like it because it has an actual character, and it has lore behind it.
That's true. I don't know. I just see it as like a, I don't know. Like, I think of like, thinking of like Urshifu and Calyrex and Ogerpon and Terrapagos.
Yeah, but this is like the best version of those.
I know, but well, so like they're all technically legendary, but in my brain, I just can't fix it. It's just them making mythicals not bad.
Yeah.
That's how I imagined that set of Pokemon.
And also, like,
I always thought those, ever since Urshifu and Khufu and all these that come in DLC, I've always looked at them more as mythical than legendaries. I know I'm wrong, but that's how my brain was working. I'm like,
no, I agree. No, Jushiro, you and I are one mind on this. Like, I know they're legendaries, but in my mind, I'm like, this is just how they're making mythicals not suck.
The other thing I wanted to mention was Koridon.
Koridon is a cool Pokemon.
Just because it's a ride Pokemon?
It is a cool Pokemon.
Koridon, like, is a good story Pokemon, like, kind of like Cosmog. It's, like, the best version of the Pokemon.
And Koridon is better. Koridon is better than Maridon.
It is better than Maridon. Like, that is statistically factual.
Yes.
I've been this close to just buying Scarlet, just to play it.
Koridon has a lot of character.
I love Violet, but I know I could be doing better. Kind of like that meme with Pedro Pascal. It could be better, and it could be Scarlet.
Yeah, like that. Those are the two shoutouts I'd have for the top.
Yeah, my shoutouts would be Yveltal. Yeah, for top would be Yveltal because I just love its design.
If it had lore, I agree.
I was going to say, Gen 6 doesn't have lore, and that's a problem. If Gen 6 is like, there's one guy outside of a cave that just tells you all the lore for the region, and that's it. That's the lore.
But yeah, my two ones that I would throw in there would be that one, and of course, Giratina. Because it's the Lord of the Underworld.
Giratina's fine.
But that's it, yeah.
I think all of my other nominees wouldn't be for top. I think they would be for bottom.
There are a handful of bad ones still.
I think it would just be for bottom. Like, I don't want to say it because then there's gonna be angry comments.
That's what we want.
It's okay. The Darkest Day was a bad thing. We don't talk about the Darkest Day.
Eternatus was bad. It just wasn't a good Pokemon. It's fine.
It was a dark day. I don't like the turtle. That's why.
The turtle's okay. Like, I'm okay with the turtle because, I don't know, they had to do something instead of being like, this is an awesome type Pokemon and just making it a normal type. And I'm like, that's fine.
The problem is that Terrapagos light time in the spotlight ends.
I was going to say the issue is that we don't have the anime.
Began at the end of this generation and will stay at the end of this generation. Because you know that the next generation won't have whatever.
I do agree with you that I'm not a big fan as of late. By as of late, probably the last two gens where Pokemon are getting these forms that aren't meant to last. I mean, especially legendaries, particularly. I guess it's the last three gens, because we didn't really get that in Gen 6.
Four gens. We didn't. Gen 6, we had Megas, or Primals, that don't exist anymore.
Yeah, but we didn't, like, there were no legendaries that were just, like, we're legendary because, and we have this form that's, like, really cool to make us even more legendary. Outside, I guess you could...
Right, it's like Diancie. Though that's not a legendary, but Diancie's useless now.
Yeah, I guess you could consider like Mega Rayquaza in that camp to some extent. But like you think of like Ultra Necrozma.
Yeah, Gigantamax Eternatus that we never got.
Eternatus.
G-Max Urshifus.
And now we've got G-Max Urshifus. We've also got we got Terrapagos now. That is, essentially the Pokemon is conceived as being Stellar type. It's just never going to be able to do that ever again in like 2 years.
Unless they keep Terra, which Terra is a good mechanic. Like, I could see them keeping it.
I feel like us saying this is just like real bad cope, and the history of the Pokemon franchise tells me it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If they were to keep it, I would not complain. It is a solid mechanic that makes sense.
Yeah, and if they were to keep Mega Evolution, I would not complain either. Like, I think that's like, it's just not going to happen. Like, as much as I want it, I would be fine with it happening. I just don't think it's going to. I don't know. It's one of the problems I've just had with Pokemon in the past, almost a decade now, is that they're like, oh man, we want to make these cool gimmicks. And then we just don't want to support them anymore.
I mean, I'm okay with not supporting Z moves, but
you know. Yeah, I don't. It's just like, guys, then nothing's permanent, right? Because we have this conversation, right? Where we're just like, yeah, Terrapagos is going to suck next year, though. And that's kind of like where we are.
I mean, I appreciate that Ogerpon's still solid without the terraforms, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, it'll still get its forms.
Correct. Ogerpon is an example of a Pokemon that is excellent no matter if we lose those terraforms.
It'll still have its forms. It just won't have its terrestrialization. Like, and it's still fine. Like,
Also, the way terrestrialization works for Ogerpon is the way terrestrialization should work for everybody. Just saying.
I mean, I It was a good use of terrestrialization. I wish more things used that form or that style.
Yeah. One last thing is the all these generational and location specific gimmicks are fine and dandy if we ever get that magical end of the rainbow treasure of a huge Pokemon game that includes multiple regions. And then whenever you move to fly to that other region, you can get those,
That would be an interesting way to handle that. I think there's a chance that we get something, maybe. I don't know. Like, Gen 10 is happening, right? It's Gen 10 and the 30th anniversary, potentially. So something might happen.
Because I do like it in the anime. I've always liked it when they go like, yeah, no, you're in Alolan now. The Pokemon here, you know, they, I forgot what was Alolan's gimmick.
I think it would be cool to have a choice of what bracelet you're wearing for the power up, right? I think that could have been fun. That could be fun. Like, you only got one. You don't get to ash it. You don't get to slam it down with your Z ring and your Dynamax band on the same arm with a mega bracelet on the other, whatever it is.
That would be cool. Like, if your trainer could equip a gimmick and then you get to choose a gimmick, that would be fun. It will make the freaking meta a mess, because how would you choose between a Mega or a Gigamax? You will always choose Mega, of course. But it would make the meta hell, but that would be interesting.
The snap buffs for a G-Max are kind of good sometimes.
Well, I don't want to keep belaboring this, but our list, for those of you at home, is at the top five. We've got Chien Pao, Mewtwo, Tapu Koko, Ho-Oh, and Kyogre. I like that way it's Gens 1, 2, and 3. And then in our bottom five, we've got Cosmoem, Mesprit, and probably Friends, Virizion, Zamazenta, and Monkey Dory and Friends. Let us know at PucklePodcast@gmail.com what your favorite and least favorite legendaries are. We look forward to reading those. All right. Well, on that note, though, guys, we're going to kick it on over to our Pokemon of the episode. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Episode. Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 381, Latios, the Eon Pokemon.
Its Omega Ruby Pokedex entry reads, Latios has the ability to make others see an image of what it has seen or imagines in its head. This Pokemon is intelligent and understands human speech.
Isn't that like
all
Pokemon?
All psychic Pokemon.
All psychic Pokemon. Well, no, understanding human speech. Like, I guess.
Because if you say tackle, they know you're saying you're asking for tackle. My question to you
would be then.
Tackle.
That's true. But I'm wondering if, like, would you say your dog understands human speech?
It's more like a gorilla learning sign language.
Right? Yeah. Well, okay. It turned out that gorilla never actually learned sign language.
It's just mimicking. It's not understanding.
Yeah, because the gorilla would just make random hand signs, like, all the time. It turned out it would never actually be interpreting correctly. So, I do wonder if, like, that's the level of intelligence of a Pokemon. But Latios is, good Pokemon all around. Decent special attack.
It's been good for a long
decent
time.
Bulk. Yeah, it's been good since it came out.
It's been banned in previous.
Well, that's because
formats in OU.
Well,
because Dragon was really good for a long time.
Dragon was really good, but also Soldew was a really good item, right, and that itself got banned for a while. Latios and Latios
was
had,
broken.
Yeah, original Soldew, the two of them got, which is really insane. Like, so I'm gonna like let people know like some history about this, because Soldew is like broken.
It was like an assault vest and a choice packs that didn't lock you into anything.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. From generations 3 to 6, it would give you a 50% buff to both special attack and special defense at the same time.
It was very dumb.
It was
rightfully banned.
Yeah, it was banned. And eventually, now it's fixed, where if it holds it, the psychic and dragon type moves used by Latios or Latios while they're holding it are boosted by around 20%.
It works like Adamant Orb and all that stuff.
So. The modifier is actually different. The modifier is, instead of 20%, the specific multiplier is it multiplies it by 4,915 divided by 4,096, which which is not 20%, but it's a very weird number. Why they did it, I don't know. It's fine. Soldier did get a trainer card in the e-reader era.
Ah, back when they did items.
Back when they did items, yes. This trainer card allowed the player to search their deck for a Pokemon with Altomare in its name and add it to their bench.
What?
This is for like a movie specific card.
This is a movie promo?
There's like a movie set. I mean, Gen 3 Pokemon TCG was also like kind of spiraling, I feel like.
Wasn't that when they took back control and didn't know like what to do in the US or something?
That was part
I'm
of
sure
it. Like
e-reader printing probably didn't help.
Gen 3, like Pokemon was like on the decline in Gen 3, right? And it was, so it was. They were like, oh, what do we do about Pokemon cards? And so they're just like trying to do anything wild that they could. And we got everything that we didn't need. Everything that we didn't need. I think there's actually a Latios card. There's a Latios card that's in print right now.
I have them up.
Oh yeah.
So there is a Fusion Strike one that isn't very good. Saw play.
Yeah. There's another.
You attach
a new one,
a psychic energy card from your hand to a Latios, which it's a dragon card, so it required two waters and a psychic and a colorless to attack for two times.
Nobody likes that.
That was pretty bad as a Fusion Strike card.
Everybody hated
that. Upcoming set.
Everybody hated
upcomings.
That.
We got one coming up in the upcoming set. It's a psychic type, which is already a win in most books.
Yes.
Because you can run it in Gardevoir. For one energy of any type, you could do 20, or for three energies, two of which being psychic, 180 damage.
No, one just came out. One just came out.
Paradox Rift. Oh, yeah. No, that's the one we have, isn't it? Yeah.
That's okay. The one we have. Yeah, that's the one we have is the Latios that just came out.
I get confused by the names of the sets right now.
Paradox Rift. Yeah, because the next one's like, what, Temporal Shift or something? I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, they sound very similar.
Yeah.
you can understand me getting confused by the two.
Anyways. Yeah, no, because I remember energy, one came out because I'll follow Azul Garcia. And on his buy list, he said like, oh, pick up a Latios or something. Paradox Rift.
One
like
of them Gardevoir off. Makes sense. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay. It's like an okay card. It, like for Gardevoir,
it's like
I
a
think,
free 180 damage. Sure.
Yeah, pretty much. In Gardevoir, it's probably fine.
Especially post rotation when they lose all their attackers.
Yep. It'll probably be fine.
That aren't named Screamtail.
Yes. You are absolutely correct. Like post rotation, you'll probably want this Latios.
In the game,
it's shiny as fire.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Is this the one that's teal?
I like teal.
Okay. It's green. I always thought of it as like a mint color.
It is like a green teal. You are correct. It's more like a green shifted teal. You aren't wrong.
Notably,
oh wow, and
eyes.
It notably did not get washed out in the transition to 3D. That's nice.
That's always a win.
No, I like that is an issue with like a lot of Pokemon. I don't know. Like you look at like the black and white sprites and you're just like, wow, the colors are so vivid. And then you get,
we don't like to talk about what happened to Blastoise. It took a lot of years to get that back.
Yeah. And then like the colors just like go to like, it's been 10 years and we finally figured out how to do Pokemon in 3D, guys.
We fixed them finally.
Do you know what
they're
was the concept
normal.
For Latios and Latias?
They did a jet plane, but it used to be combined with Blaziken, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, way back beta design.
The beta design was essentially like a fusion between Latios and Blaziken. And then eventually they split that into two different Pokemon concepts.
So it's supposed to be a chicken.
Well, right, Blaziken is.
No, no, we took the chicken away.
We took
realized
the chicken away.
The chicken was bad.
And so we made it a starter instead. If you actually look at like there's like a really early image of like a trainer character like riding on it. Yeah.
It was our first like major we had Mamoswine and Skiddo before, unfortunately. It was the first one we could call readily though for ride Pokemon.
Yeah, that's you're not entirely wrong. That's true.
Yeah. I liked Soaring. Soaring was fun.
Yeah. Is Latios, I want to know if like it suffered from the from like Gen 9 power creep or not. I'm gonna find out.
You want to know what rank it is in OU?
Yeah, what tier is it right now? Oh, it's UU. Who would it? UU is the tier to play in. It is just all of my old favorites. They're just all there.
Gen 6
It's where Gen 6 lives. You could play with... There's Toxapex down there now, too.
I know. It's literally... No, like, literally, like, Gen 9 OU is for all the new kids. And then UU is where, like, the old men go to play. And we reminisce about the good times.
Back when ice types weren't good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the way to play it is not much different, like, now than it was back then, too. It looks like it's just like, yeah, you slap a Soul Dew on it, or a Choice Spec, or a Choice Scarf. And if you're not choiced, you can play Calm Mind for bulk, or you play, or you just play a bunch of moves, because it gets a bunch of moves. It did get flip turn this gen, which I think we mentioned.
You can get out of there. It got U-turn.
Yeah, it got a switch.
So good.
It got a switch move, which is great.
It is worse U-turn, but it is U-turn.
Yeah. Luster Purge actually got a buff this gen, too, up to 95 base power, which is great. So it makes it useful
used to be
over
70.
Psychic. Yeah, so it's better than Psychic now, so you can run Luster Purge. And, I mean, you run Draco Meteor. Why not run Draco Meteor?
Do you remember the days of Gen 5 Draco Gem Draco Meteor?
Yeah.
I vaguely do, but I do.
Yeah.
It was dark times.
This is pretty much what I would do. That's what I would do. I would just, you know, run Draco Meteor, Luster Purge, and then probably Flip Turn for some kind of out. But you do get access to, like, because it's a legendary dragon type, you get access to, like, Thunderbolt, Shadow Ball, or a Sphere, even.
Aura Sphere is really good for dealing with things.
Yeah, like, it depends on the
namely
team.
Namely, Steel types.
You'll have to take a look at the team composition that you have, that you want to put a Latias on. And you'll have to go ahead and decide whether or not which move is for you. But other than that, those are the stories I have about Latios.
Latios is just a fun Pokemon.
Yep.
I think it's most commonly like Terra Steel
or Terra Dragon.
Terra Dragon to relive the glory days of Draco Gem.
Yes, exactly.
The Gen 5 glory days before Fairy type existed. Oh, Fairy type.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for our Pokemon of the episode. We are going to kick on over now, guys, to the mailbag.
It's mail time.
Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and we read it on the show and hopefully have a good discussion about it. We are going to go ahead and jump right into these emails, though, right after the sponsor of the segment, which is the energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves! Hooves!
We'll give out the Green Tauros badge to anybody who we deem worthy. I wonder how many people understand the reference of Green Tauros nowadays. Like, it's been a long time since we've, like, talked about the source material for that, but that's okay. Last week, you were asked about Paradox Pokemon, and we're ready to jump into some emails about those. Our first one this week is going to be Tia, and I believe Sigma wants to read this one.
Oh, what's up, Puckle Crew? Iron Tia here with my thoughts on the Paradox Pokemon. Scarlets are very good. A lot of variety. I think just like real animals in our distant past, there was a lot of different designs fit for different purposes. My favorites are Necraiko and Sandy Shox. The Necraiko is good.
I think Sandy Shox is the most interesting of all of them because it's the one that I'll still point to and be like, maybe Sandy Shox didn't exist in the past. I'm just saying there's screws there, guys. There's screws.
When you think about Legends Arceus, and you know that Magnemite and Magneton are in distortions, but Magnezone is out there flying in the wild.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird, too? What's going on?
Like, it's already a Paradox Pokemon, because they're from the future, but Magnezones came first. That is the paradox here. We know Magnezone is an ancient Pokemon.
Yeah, one of these things is not like the other.
The designs have... all have a sort of primitive feeling. On to Violet's. Oh, Violet. My actual real hottest take is the future Pokemon look like a 3D artist took all the models and components on a 3D modeling program, made the textures as smooth as possible, and increased the gloss and shine on all the colors. Not to mention the unoriginality in the names. Poor designs. Boring names have made this set of special Pokemon my least favorite of all time. That's all from me, Tia.
Yeah, like, does Professor Turo not understand that there's other metals?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, they could have done, like, copper and silver and gold and all these other...
You can even make it like not even that basic, right? You could be like, oh man, this is iridium moth. This is titanium thorns. This is like, you could just choose so many other metals. I don't know. It just feels very phoned in when they're all iron.
I blame ferroseed and ferrothorn for existing, because otherwise we could have had names like that.
Oh, that would have been cool too. Yeah,
we could have used ferro. Unfortunately, we already have a ferrothorn, so we couldn't have ferrothorns.
So now we have an iron thorns. They're different things.
Yeah, exactly. Not the same. Not the same, guys. Don't worry. One of them is good.
It's fine. All right. Well, Jushiro, you're going to get this next one from Trash Panda.
Okay. Says, hey, Puckle Gang. Paradox Pokemon are some of the weirdest Pokemon I've seen in a while, and I feel I have some interesting opinions about some of them. For future reference, I have Scarlet. I do have to agree with the naming decision was weird, and the future Paradox definitely got the short end of the stick with everything using iron, as discussed. I do really like the way the future Paradoxes go to sleep, having all their lights turn off and shut down is really funny to me, and having their shinies be all chrome is cool, but they all should have had it be the same as the Pokemon they were based on, like the past Paradoxes. My favorite Paradox is Sandy Shox in Scarlet and Iron Balder in Violet. My least favorite is Screamtail and Iron Threads. To explain Sandy Shox, I have always liked the weird, unconventional characters in-game. My favorite Pokemon is Curly Chandelure. My Smash Brother main is Piranha Plant. Sandy Shox is just so strange and goofy-looking. The way it walks is really unique, and its concept is just fun. Screamtail is boring and not very interesting, even compared with some of the future Paradoxes not looking too different. They add hair and make it angry. I just don't understand. And bigger, I guess. For the future Paradoxes, they are mostly based on looks, since I haven't played Violet. Iron Boulder just looks interesting, and I hate how Iron Threat's face is blocked by the trunk. Yes, I know it's basically the same as Donphan, but Donphan's trunk is connected to its face, whereas Iron Threads has to come from the back, like someone put a piece of fruit leather on a robot. I don't really...
Yeah, it's weird. It's not good.
When I look at Iron Threads, I think, do you remember the show Cubix?
Yes. Oh my. We've had this shared memory before. Continue.
Do you remember the little robot bird thing called Don Don with the little robot face? That's what I think about when I think of like Iron Trent's face.
I know that's most of the future Paradox Pokemon too, is like, it's supposed to be the future, but all of their eyes are just pixelated images.
I think it's fine.
I really don't know what they'll do for the next set of weird Pokemon like Paradoxes or Ultrabus, but it'll be exciting to see. I always listen to the podcast while walking to class and occasionally find myself talking out loud as if it's part of conversation. See you all later, Ethan.
Or Trash Panda 103 on the Discord. All right, our last email today is going to be from VMAX Kiwi. Hello, Puckle Crew. Greetings from New Zealand. Firstly, thank you for your ongoing efforts and incredible content. I love the format of your show dearly. I got back into Pokemon through Sword and Shield after a long hiatus at the end of Gen 3 to focus on life aspirations. So it's been pretty incredible to play through the games over the recent years and concurrently listen to your old podcast episodes to gauge the feelings of the time. It felt a little bit like time travel. Oh, that's... honestly, if you're going back to like Gen 6 and Gen 7, like, those are probably okay episodes.
It's a time capsule.
As Gen 8 was revealed, there were some rough patches.
That was a low point. That was a low point for sure.
There were some emotions flying.
There were a lot of emotions for like a year. Speaking of time travel, cough, cough, a Paradox Pokemon. My initial thoughts overall were neutral. I wasn't mad about them, and it was intrigued to see how the concept would play out through the game. As a rehabilitated Gen 1-er, I'm doing my best these days to critique Pokemon ideas after giving them a fair chance, moving on from a dark past where I let ice cream Pokemon annoy me and live rent-free in my head, while having no issue whatsoever with a pile of sludge evolving to a slightly bigger pile of sludge.
Garbodor did nothing wrong.
It's the same thing as Muck, just like probably a better concept, honestly.
It is a better, slightly, only slightly.
So now, having wrapped up Scarlet and Violet, I can say with conviction that I'm left with feelings of frustrations and confusions, kind of like poor Arvin. Mostly in relation to the lack of lore resolution, rather than having issues with the designs and basic concept of Paradox Pokemon itself. I kind of agree with this, actually, with how much detail they put into everything else to kind of just give us like this hand-wavy, maybe this is it, but maybe not, explanation for Paradox Pokemon was kind of underwhelming. Throughout the game and DLC, I waited for the purpose and lore around the existence of Paradox Pokemon to slowly be revealed, how they might tie into Heath, the professor, and of course, what Terrapagos had to do with all of it. But I was only left with disappointment and the wild time travel / dream theory conspiracies running around in my head. I know Pokemon at times has left a lot to be left to the imagination, but in this case, I believe the lack of closure impacted my overall experience of the game. I feel as though solving the Paradox mystery should have been intrinsic to the storyline, something we slowly discovered and worked through during the main game to help with the help of our friends and teachers, especially given how important the Area Zero device was to the generation's overall plot. Am I unfair in thinking we deserved a better explanation and proper closure? Meeting the professor at the Crystal Pool just annoyed me, frankly, and only further aided my confusion. I agree with this take. This is like 1000% my take. Like, there's nothing I would change about this take.
It created another paradox.
Yeah, right?
Because you have the key to the time machine now.
I know Pokemon at times, design standpoint, I think it's clear that Scarlet had the better options. Due to being able to leverage the uniqueness and chaos of past times, I love, like, we're only reading 3 emails, guys, but all of the emails we receive this week have the exact same take about Scarlet just being better.
Yeah, it's hard to deny.
I feel that Violet designs and dull names were just a basic commentary on a streamlined future where everything becomes efficient / optimized, but in the process loses its essence and creativity. That being said, why couldn't they have allowed the Violet designs to transform, or for the designs to tap into other futuristic ideas, aside from robots? As soon as I captured my Paradox Pokemon in Violet, they more or less felt like they were left to rot in their boxes. I personally couldn't connect to them without the lore being resolved or to help give them meaning. I hope we'll get an explanation either through the anime or a Pokemon movie in the near future. However, I strongly believe we deserve for the Paradox concept to be resolved within the game itself. Overall, I appreciate that Pokemon continues to try and bring fresh ideas to the franchise. On this occasion, I didn't quite resonate with the execution, but who knows? When I get around to replaying the game and reminiscing on this generation in the future, maybe I'll focus on things that I enjoyed. The character development, the sheer amount of content, the ease of shiny hunting, and maybe even the unresolved mystery of the Paradox Pokemon. Anyway, thanks for reading my thoughts. I appreciate that all that each of you do to keep the Pokemon Discourse positive and healthy. My Monday afternoon drive home from work while listening to Puckle is always an absolute highlight. Love from a distant, far distant land, VMAX Kiwi. P.S. Excluding the box art legendaries, my favorite paradoxes are easily Raging Bolt and Iron Moth, while my least liked are 1000% Iron Jugulus and Iron Boulder. Scarlet, better than Violet, major regrets. Well, thank you for that one, VMAX Kiwi.
Poor Iron Jugulus. Poor Iron Jugulus.
It has a really cool card in the TCG. Like the art rare is very cool. I want to give the badge to VMAX Kiwi if everybody else is okay with that.
Yeah.
VMAX Kiwi, you get the badge here. And next week, I want to know what your top and bottom 5 legendary Pokemon are. Let us know. PucklePodcast@gmail.com. But until next time, if you want to keep up with us, the best way to do so is through the Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. Follow us on social media over at Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can also go ahead and follow us on YouTube at YouTube.com/PucklePodcast, over at Twitch at Twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast. I'm not going to be on Wednesday. I'm going to see if I can convince Shark to take over for me. I might do something on Monday, though, during the day. So it'll be a weird time, mostly because I have Monday off. So I might just do something in the middle of the day, just stream for a couple hours, the egg lock. So definitely check that out if you are available. We'll have a good time doing it. But yeah, I think that's pretty much everything, except for if you want to support the show, but you can do it in a couple of different ways. One, you can go to Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, get some exclusive content. I've been lacking mostly because I've had a lot of personal things happening this month. I'm hoping to get a couple of these out to you in the next, probably the last week of February. Additionally, you can also go ahead and Support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and buying all of your TCG product there. By using code PucklePod5 at checkout, we really appreciate any of the support you can give us. But the biggest support you can give us is listening to the show. So thank you for doing that. I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been Jashiro.
And I've been R Sigma.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.